All right, so we got a guy on the line here.
We got a guy.
He's a Twitter troll right now.
A Twitter troll. That's what we have. We have a Twitter troll. We should all mute him collectively. Ray? Down in Vegas, here's Ray Ferraro.
Ray, we have one question for you.
Yes, sir.
Was that one of those really big chairs, or was that a normal-sized chair?
He's been saving that, saving that for a while, Ray.
Well, I'll tell you, I was walking down. Chris Cuthbert and I were going for breakfast. We walked by that store, and I thought of you guys immediately.
What is the store called? You're an Idiot?
No, Stupid Idiocity.
Stupid Idiocity. Yeah, that's Overdrive in
CEO
a nutshell.
CEO Brian Hayes.
That's our slogan.
And so I looked at it, and I'm like, CC, take a picture of me sitting in this damn chair. And I'm just thinking, like, people go into the store. Like, who thought of this idea for a store? Let's call it this. And people will come in and buy whatever the hell they buy in there. I didn't even go in.
Why are you not at Shadow Creek right now?
Really windy today.
I don't care. I don't care.
Brad May has offered quite kindly a couple of courses that we shall get to during this series.
Yeah, Pebble Beach. He'll be at Pebble Beach.
There, yeah. Right? Yeah, there's a lot of, shockingly, a lot of Canadians
LA,
that found
think,
their way to Vegas.
I think we may be going to LA Country Club,
wow,
which is pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, you'll be all set up. And if this series goes back and forth and back and forth, you'll have plenty of off days to exercise.
Yeah, there's going to be some time. I don't know about you guys. I was kind of surprised last night that Vegas was as physical as they were. Like, I didn't know they had that in them. I mean,
they were amped up. You could tell.
It ties into the Boston-Toronto series, Ray. It's like, you want to play like this, contain and keep them to the like. If you're not physical in the playoffs, guys will walk all over. And we saw in all the games last night, you have the puck, there's a price to pay. And if you don't want to pay it, you won't have success. And on the other end, if you're not going to make them pay a price, they'll do whatever they want.
Like, they were, I don't picture Vegas, because they're not a big team, and I don't picture them, you know, getting after anyone on the forecheck, like in finishing. That fourth line for Vegas was awesome. Not only were they physical, they had a half a dozen really good scoring chances. And that was that Carrier, who Doughty ended up hitting late in the game. I mean, he hit Doughty five times last night. Belmar, who was in Philadelphia, he was outstanding. And Thomas Noshik is a younger guy from the Detroit organization. And they were the best line in the game last night. And they were punishing people everywhere. It is a hard game. Just to what your point was, it is a hard, hard game. That is, there's no easy ways out, that's for sure.
Well, can you picture the Leafs playing that role? I mean, they're the skill, fast team, kind of like Vegas. Can you picture, do they have it in their DNA to be physical tonight?
Well, I don't know that they have to run over people like Carrier did last night, but you know who was really involved last night? That Jonathan Marchessault. The guy's 5'8" or 5'9". Like, you don't have to be a giant. You've got to finish what's there in front of you. You got to be hard on the puck, and if there's a chance to give somebody a little whack in the back of the legs, you got to, like, it's not nice guy hockey anymore. We're done with the 80 games. It's you want to make the guy across from you uncomfortable, and they can do that, sure, but they can't take themselves out of what they are. Like, if Marner and Nylander are running around trying to get hits and then they don't handle the puck, what the hell's the good of that?
Yeah, you're right. They can't do. I mean, to me, it's more about winning those 50-50 battles. And if there's a loose puck, you can still get in there and use your body to try and retrieve it back and have some jam on it. But you don't need to go out of your way to finish a check or run somebody over. If the opportunity's there, don't back down. But I think that they've got to play their game and establish that right away. And we were talking about it earlier, Ray. Winnipeg looked like, for the first 25, 30 minutes, they were kind of wading their way through it and just kind of seeing the tempo. And then they realized, hey, we're a really good team. And you could see those young guys gain more confidence as they realized, okay, the pace may be just as high or a little bit higher, but we can play here. And a lot of those young guys for the Jets, I thought, played really well last night.
isn't it interesting though? Like we all got into these playoffs for the first time at one time in our careers, and everybody tells you it's going to be faster and more physical and all that, and then you get there. I don't know how you guys were, but I was like, holy crap! Like, it felt like a different world.
Yeah, Ray, didn't it feel like it's like I'm a skilled guy, but I can't make a damn play out here.
Every time I got it, I got knocked on my ass.
Yeah.
Like, every time. And I'm like, I better start getting rid of the puck here and doing everything faster, because there was no time. And I'm sure those Jets kids last night would have felt that. And I'm sure Toronto's guys felt that last year. And they should be more ready for it now. But Boston's got some young guys that are playing in the playoffs for the first time, too. And so they're going to have to feel their way into the game. And maybe it's you get knocked over a few times, or maybe you get a few shifts in and you go, okay, now I see. I get the puck on the boards, and if there's a little stick battle for it, I better battle for it harder than I did all season, because I'm not going to win any. That's not good enough anymore.
I'll tell you what, I don't miss getting hit, Ray. I don't envy these guys for the money they make, but when you talk about the playoffs, I just wish I could go back and play one more playoff series or one more run, because it's just so fun. All you do is play the games. Nobody cares if you practice. Nobody cares if you work out. You just play the games. It's so much fun.
I was so jealous of those guys last night when they were skating around at the start.
Yeah.
And I actually said during the game, this is when I'm most jealous of the players today.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. They were. You could just see them. Like, they couldn't. The guys sitting on the bench, they couldn't wait to get out there. They were all kind of like leaning forward instead of just sitting there. And then guys were just like exploding onto the ice.
It's awesome.
It was so good. I don't know if you guys saw the opening. So they had like this King and his court came on one end of the ice. And then at the other end, the Vegas Golden Knights guy came on. And there was a duel at center ice, and the yeah. Knights. The Knights guy killed the Kings guy, and then they went up to the castle. I was like, what the hell am I watching here? And yet, it just seemed just fine or just perfect for Vegas. You know, it was like it was a show that couldn't go anywhere else, but the place was, you could feel the vibrations under my feet in the building. It was so, so loud.
Yeah.
I loved it. I wouldn't want to see that all the time, but I was like, man, this is outstanding. And then the game started, and Vegas was like, they were going a million miles an hour. And when they scored, like, the cheer of the crowd was so long. Like, you know, you got to wait for it, right, Noodles, you can make a comment. And I was like, oh, man, they're not stopping.
Right.
Like, it was awesome.
I had this goon corner me in the grocery store today. And this is what he said. He goes, if you go back and look at all the times Plekanec was a pain in the ass to Marchand and all the games he's played against the Bruins, that's why they picked him up at the deadline. And he's going to be a massive factor. And I just rolled my eyes and said, buddy, I don't know if that would have been a main factor in the war room in picking up Plekanec. Thoughts?
I would say when Plekanec was in Montreal, he would have been on the ice against Marchand a lot more than he's going to be now.
Yeah. You know who the goon was in the grocery store?
No.
Brian Hayes.
And do you know that it was an Arby's and not a grocery store?
Well, either way, these guys were 30 minutes
ago. Should have heard it.
You completely just said that is the dumbest comment ever.
He actually
made
thought that the brass for the Maple Leafs would have sat in the war room and said, remember all the times he pissed Marchand off and all the experience he's got with the Bruins? That's why we got to get him. And
absolutely.
I said, dude, are you high?
At the trade deadline, they were playing the Bruins. That's who they were playing. They knew who they were playing in the first round.
They didn't know till the last night of the season.
Boston won so many games and Tampa started losing. Go back to the deadline. Tampa was like 7-8 points up. It was over.
Right. It was. They've known they played for the Bruins playing the Bruins for a while.
At least back then they thought
the
that
only
they
other
were playing them.
Thing, I mean, Dominic Moore played for the Bruins too. So you know,
okay, but the point I'm making is Plekanec has played 78 games in
exactly.
his career. No one else is close.
Yeah. If the guy was 26, that might be a valid point. He's on the down. He's on the back nine, bro.
But why wouldn't you consider that? Ray, can you please spit
Ray,
some
just
logic
go ahead
here?
And speak whatever you'd like to say.
I don't get, honestly, I don't I know they wanted to add a veteran guy. They weren't comfortable with Dominic Moore for whatever reason, really from the beginning of the year. Even after they signed him, it seemed like he was always on the outs. I don't know how much or if any of an upgrade Plekanec is on Dominic Moore. I don't. He's not more physical. Is he better on the draw? I don't know. I think they're kind of the same. I think Moore skates really well. I don't see as a really large upgrade. Like when they got Brian Boyle last year, I was like, I like that. Now it didn't maybe go as great as it might have, but I liked it because Boyle was big and he can be mean and you know he can. There's still track there. I just don't see it with Plekanec.
Well, as for you know what the Leafs are walking into here, we talked about Babcock yesterday, and you mentioned that he hasn't won a first-round series since 2013, and he's lost six of his past seven. And, oh, you mentioned that Babcock is an X factor this week coming into the series. And Feschuk wrote a piece in the Star saying, you know, when he's a big favorite, man, does he coach well at the Olympics with the Red Wings. But as an underdog in the past, it hasn't necessarily gone his way. How much pressure do you think should be on Babcock, is on Babcock, to find a way to win this? Because if it's a coin flip, he keeps saying he's an underdog. But what kind of a factor do you think he has to play here?
I do believe he has got an impact to be made here in the series. I think there's going to be, because these teams are so close, I think there are adjustments that either coach is going to make or can make that will swing a game that might be the turning point of a series. And I think there's pressure on Babcock because he is who he is. He's the most notable coach in the league. He's the highest paid coach in the league. You know, he likes coaching in the biggest market. That's why he came. That's why he came to Toronto. And as much as the money is great and all that, I think inside it there's a fire to be the best in the biggest market for him. I think it matters. And I don't think that's bad. I just think that's part of how he's wired. So I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself, but his teams have not found a way to win, even when they've been really close. Really close. The year Tampa went to the Stanley Cup Finals, they lost Game 7 in Tampa, 1-0, well, 2-0, I think they got an empty netter. But before Game 7, Nick Cronwall got suspended in Game 6. So they didn't have, I think, Marek Zidlicky and Cronwall in Game 7. So you get some crappy breaks. That's the way it goes. But they can't, I don't know, I don't see them as an underdog in the series. We've all picked Boston, but that's because we had to pick somebody. I don't see either team as a favorite in this series.
As a player, what's running through your mind? How would you compare and contrast walking out of the building after winning Game 1 and after losing Game 1?
Oh, I think it's the, okay, so you win Game 1. Now if you're on the road, you're like, oh, now we got home ice advantage. Of course you're pumped. You know, you've got to win 3 of 6, but you've got home ice advantage. If you lose, I'm sure Philly's saying the same thing. It's only one game. It's one game. Now we got to win 4 of 6. I think you look at it whichever way makes you feel best on the way out the door.
Do you believe it, though?
Well, we lost, Noodles, remember we lost 6-0 to the Rangers?
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, we lost 6-0 in the opener. It felt like we were down 5-0.
Yeah. Then we bounced back the next night with a 6-0 loss, and then we bounced back with a 5-2 loss, and then a 5-2 loss, and that was the end of our season.
Is that the year they won the cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were good.
They were really good. In a fight, we came third.
Yeah, we came in third in that series, and I'll never forget. I felt bad. We were in our own building losing in Game 4, 5-2, and I was backing up, sitting in that little corner, and there was a fan knocking on the glass with an Islander jersey, like waving to me, saying, "We still love you, we still love you." And two Rangers fans suckered him and started smashing his head on the glass.
No way.
He was bleeding everywhere. And I was just sitting there. There was nothing I could do. I was on the other side of the glass.
I'll never forget playing in Long Island when the organist or whatever, it would be dun, 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 and Carolina is at the Islanders, and then all of a sudden the fans just go, "Rangers suck." I'm like, why are they saying Rangers suck? We're here. They're like, they don't care.
Yeah,
the worst part of the Rangers winning the Cup was the 1940 chant died.
Yeah, exactly.
You would be playing anywhere, and they'd start chanting 1940, and I'm like, this is awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, and then in New York with the Rangers, they would always yell, "Potvin sucks." They hated Danny Potvin so badly. Like, it was, that's the rivalry stuff. I mean, there is rivalries to this day, but the heated ones have history. Like,
well, when the fans are suckering each other,
that was gross.
That's when it gets
that was
gross.
So gutless, like, too.
We mentioned before you came on, back in 2013, when a guy got suckered, a Leaf fan down in Boston after game two. He's listening. He just sent a text. He said, "Hey guys, I'm a huge fan. It's Kyle. I was the guy who got laid out in Boston."
I would like Kyle to just say what happened. Like, did he chirp? Like, there had to have been an altercation.
Well,
you don't just walk down the street and get suckered.
Send us another text. He said it was his birthday, too.
Oh,
so it was
too
like a
bad,
birthday
Kyle.
Present. He's in Boston. The Leafs won that game, so I guess you came out 50-50.
Having a time, so he's excited, have a few drinks, you get stroked, and then you probably still end up going out having a good time.
Well, you
there's
have to.
There's an energy, of course. We've all been in crowds. And there's an energy, both good and bad, that you can just feel. We were doing we had a set outside in the finals in Boston. I guess it would have been 2011. And we had to get cops standing behind. Like, these goons would come out and they'd jump up onto the back of the set. And they were like, not going to climb up, but they were just hanging on the thing.
Bob would have liked that.
Oh, Bob. Yeah, no, Bob was not impressed. And they were shaking the thing, like, it felt unsafe. Like, not that it was going to fall over, but we're like, man, if Boston loses game six, which thankfully they didn't, and it went back, we're like, we're not doing that thing out there. We're going to be a hood ornament.
Oh, they would have loved that. The Canadians down there doing TV, would have had no shot.
Yeah, we're like, we need to find a new place to do our hit after, because I don't, like, not I. We don't like where we are here.
Yeah, I don't feel safe.
And there's, I don't know. I don't know what gets, you know, I understand your blind loyalty to your team and all, you know, and the emotion of the playoffs and all that. I don't get the, I've never got the need to see guys in a fight. Like, what the hell? You just, it's got nothing to do with you. Like, why would it matter?
Yeah.
Like, to that extent.
Yeah, no kidding. Like laying someone out because they have the opposite team jersey on.
Yeah. It's,
you might want to get your priorities straight. A little disappointed here, because generally when we have, like, big news or big statements or big opinions on this show, immediately TSN Hockey's on. It's up on the webpage. We have exclusive audio of Dave Hakstol after the game last night. I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we got it. We sent an intern down to Philly, paid for it by ourselves, and said, after the game, you got to go up and ask him what he learned from the game last night. Do you want to hear this exclusive audio?
Of course.
Learn that we are far away from them still. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
How about that?
That's Christian Volvend.
That's the Swiss coach, not Dave Hakstol. But
Christian Volvend.
I could see Hakstol saying that, though.
Well, holy smokes. Like, at what point was that a mercy killing?
Yeah, it wasn't
like that,
good.
I mean, they had a couple of chances early, I guess. I guess Matt Murray made a couple of good saves, but Pittsburgh was just, they were just on another level last night. I don't know if Philly was totally overwhelmed or...
How the hell are you overwhelmed for that?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, like, they
I don't
like,
know.
They just,
it's like, don't you get prepped for the playoffs a little better than that?
Well, yeah, we got prepped. We were really ready. We just talked about it. We lost 6-0. We just weren't, like, I don't think Philly is this bad, but holy smokes, like, that didn't even look competitive.
No.
No, that's an embarrassment. Like, that's, sending shockwaves throughout
Seven
the league.
Seven Cobb is, you're in the locker room saying, okay, boys.
But, you know, excuse me, how many? But here's the thing, though. Whether it's 1-0 or 7-0, you lost. That's it. Like, that's the one thing that you have to say that. Because, yeah, it can hurt your confidence, and it can hurt for 2 days with the media talking about, the fan base talking about it. But you still lost game one. That's it. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's the mindset. You have to have amnesia in the playoffs.
So do you throw a dart at the board for your goalie in game two?
Well, Hextall said that he's going to come back with, his instinct was to come back with Elliott. I mean, I'm fine with it, but I was telling Brian and Jeff, I mean, that's one of the shortest leashes you have. And,
right.
And you throw him out there, and if he can rebound. Like, other guys stunk last night, too. It wasn't Elliott. Like, there was those guys, I was looking at the stat sheet. I think Giroux and Gossespierre and that were like dash five.
But you're not taking them out of the lineup.
No, but my point is they're, if they're getting a pass for one awful game, maybe you do give a pass to Elliott and say, okay, you got one more game here to smarten up.
They only got one thing going for them.
Am I right, Noodles? His last two starts.
Yes.
Like, he got the hoof in Calgary.
Yep.
In game four, and then this one.
Yeah, it hasn't gone very well.
And yeah, so I don't know how you regroup. I guess you have to, but I was surprised at, you know, like how that game spread out. When Malkin scored on the backhander to make it 3-0, he went by the Flyers like they were in running shoes.
Yeah.
Like, he just blew through them, and then by the time Crosby got into the act, it was like, that was a beatdown.
We've got the NHL Network in here, and Tyson Nash, I guess, is down there in Vegas.
He must have lost a bet, because he's wearing a drape on his...
Looks like he shot his grandparents' couch and made a shirt out of it.
You got to see this shirt.
I just took a picture of it and sent it to him. I texted it to him and said, like, you're on TV. You're not on radio. Like, he's on national TV with that thing on.
You got to find him, Ray.
Well, I'll see him tomorrow for sure. Now, you know who else had a pretty good get-up yesterday was the sheriff, Shane Knighty.
Well, the sheriff, that's...
He can pull it off.
Yeah, in Vegas, you've got to have some sort of...
He had these shoes, guys. They were gold and black. and they had, like, a stripe on them. And so we were talking in a group after, and he walks up and Tyson Nash sees him. He's like, hey, turn around. Do those things have 9.5 on the back?
The bowling shoes.
Outstanding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, try to get some sleep tonight or do something. I don't know what you do
last
in Vegas.
Last night was a little later than it needed to be, but, you know, it's a new day today. Over to Top Golf, I think, once I finish with you donkeys. And
I've heard that place is awesome.
Amazing. The top floor is a pool. People rent it out. And so I guess they hit some shots from up there, but it's basically a pool that you rent with your buddies, and who knows what the hell's going on up there. So I don't think I'll be up there, but yeah.
Sign me up for the pool.
Yeah.
I don't need to hit golf shots. I want the pool.
Belly flop right
the,
in there.
The one thing that I was going to go to the pool a little earlier. This is how tired I was, though. I'm like, God, then I got to go get like suntan lotion. I'm too tired. I'll go later.
Well, you're going to L.A. in a couple of days, so you can save it up for that town, too.
Yeah, there's nothing to do there either.
No.
But this morning, Cuthbert and I were going for breakfast. In front of us were these seven women, and they were looking at the menu, and they're like, they say to the hostess, nah, we're not going to eat. We're just going to go in and grab a couple drinks. It was 9:30.
Of course. Just keep it going.
That's outstanding.
In Vegas, baby.
Don't judge them, Ray.
Spirit animals. All right, buddy. Enjoy it tonight. Try to watch the Leaf game if you can.
Oh, we are. Sportsbook. We'll be in there at 4 o'clock.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you later.
It's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.